Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Good-looking group. You know, as always, I couldn't remember whether I'd preached this message to you before or not. But I checked with the Lord about it, and he said, evidently you hadn't paid much attention to it if I had. And he said, in fact, Don, you haven't paid too much attention to it, so go ahead. I want to share with you one of my scientific observations I did the last time I preached for you, I think, about how not to boil an egg in a microwave. Well, I created kind of an atomic explosion. Well, I'm kind of prone to do that sort of thing. Yesterday, I pulled another dumb stunt. Now, it has a reason, has a purpose, so don't get upset with me that I'm not going directly to the Word. I pulled up to the grocery store, got out, locked my car, went in, got my groceries, came back out to the car and felt in my pocket and no keys. Went back in the store and asked the people if they had my keys in there. They said, no, nobody's turned them in. So I called a friend and said, I wonder if you'd come by and get me and take me home. It's about a mile and a half to my house from the grocery store, and they weren't home. So I walked home. And when I got home, I had a key put away, you know, where I could get in. And guess what? You know what? The key was gone. The box was still there, but the key was gone. I have an idea who took it, but I'm not going to confess. Well, so I couldn't get in my car. I couldn't get a ride home for a key. I couldn't get into the house after I'd walked a mile and a half to do so. I called my housekeeper, who comes every couple of weeks, and I gave her a key, and I said, Debbie, are you in town? No, sir, I'm out of town. Batting a thousand. So I was stuck. So I called my daughter in Modesto. I thought, sure, she'll come down and bring a key. And guess what? She was at dinner with another couple. And they had a show lined up after that. So I decided I'd call the tow service, hoping my keys were in the car. And the man came, and he did a couple of things and blew my door part of the way open. You know how they do, they stick that thing in there and they puff it up and it pulls it apart. You can put a thing in, unlock the door. Well, I got in the door and sure enough, there the keys lay right beside the door where I dropped them when I got out and locked the door. Well, something good came out of that. I discovered that I knew the tow driver's father from years ago. Don't remember what he looks like, but I asked him, I said, are you by chance one of the sons? And he said, yes. And I invited him to church, and I talked with him about the Lord. And you know, when I got through, something hadn't happened to me in years. He thanked me. Thanked me for the invitation. Thanked me for telling him about Christ. Thanked me for the opportunity to be a guest there. How many years has it been since you had that same thing happen? Well, I discovered that even with things going completely wrong, often God provides an opportunity to do something right. that right? So we need to see in every instance, in every incident, in every misfortune, the opportunity to say a word for Christ. To see that as a possibility. Now, I wouldn't have given you a nickel for that guy's reaction when I said that. But he kind of blew me away and made me feel bad. Well, it was a great time. I went home feeling wonderful about what had happened. That kind of fits in with what I'm going to say this morning. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 11. You've heard this so many times, and you know what it's about. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Dropping down to verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Then dropping down to verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. By faith, going to verse 17. I know I'm skipping around, but I don't want to read all that. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. This was the son of promise. This was his heir. This was his flesh and blood. And he who had received the promises was offered up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac, your descendants, that God is able to raise. He considered that God is, in Isaac, your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Then let's go to verse 32 just for a moment. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me if I tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and of prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises about them, from shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies in flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. Three things I would say. I'll keep my hands off the pulpit. Three things. They saw the invisible. And don't you hold me to three statements, because I'm going to say a lot more than that. They heard the inaudible, and they attempted the impossible. Now, that's a good sermon if I quit right now. Abraham saw a nation that would spring from his loins and from the womb of a wife who was far past childbearing age. Jacob saw Joseph and his other children as being the father of 12 nations when they were prisoners and strangers many times, when Joseph was. Jesus saw a world needing a witness, a vision of changing a world that can hardly have been more atheistic and more paganistic than the Roman world was when he lived. And then there was a group. There was a group of disciples in the book of Acts that turned the world upside down, didn't they? They turned their world upside down, and the great Roman Empire became Christian because they brought the gospel to an emperor, and he declared that it was a Christian province. In AD 350, the known world became Christian. Of course, that had to take place one by one. But who would have guessed in 350 years that the witness of 12 people and Jesus, that the world would have been declared Christian by the Roman emperor? Men of faith through the ages, with all their faults, have seen the invisible. William Carey, anybody remember William Carey's name? Well, he was a missionary. He kind of launched the modern missionary movement, and he went to India, and that area when nobody else could go. And when he told a group of preachers he wanted to go, the preachers responded, "Young man, sit down and shut up. When the Lord gets ready to convert the heathen, he'll take care of it." What they didn't know was that he was taking care of it through William Carey. And William Carey saw the invisible and went and launched what has become the modern missionary movement. Men of faith through the years with all their faults. No perfect men. I don't see any perfect ones out there. Nope. Sorry, David. No perfect men. But imperfect men with all their faults have seen the invisible. Martin Luther saw that, and he spawned the Protestant Reformation. William Carey did, as I said, and he spawned the modern mission movement. But men have always seen regular, ordinary, sinful men and women like you and I. I think men and women who see the invisible are needed today, don't you? Those of you who don't agree, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. I'm kidding, you know that. I don't think the Lord is insulted by humor or my attempt at it. I think God's a lot happier than we are sometimes. I think this nation needs visionaries who will go to its great population centers and to the increasing population centers in our area with the gospel of Christ. California needs men and women who see the greatest state in the nation as a field for reaching them for Christ. Sometimes we forget that. I met a man named Goncharov. Some of you have heard the name. I went to Fresno years ago. In 1992, I went to Fresno. And there was a guy there named Benjamin Goncharov. And Benjamin was from the Soviet Union. And I heard Benjamin talking about, "We need people to come." And I saw us going. And you'll know that we did go. For 8 or 9 years, we went as an association of churches. We went. And then there was another young man who went. And he saw a location. And he said, "I see us sponsoring this location. I see us," Janio, is that his name? "I see us sponsoring that church." Now, that was impossible almost to think they could do that. But you did it anyway, didn't you? You sponsored that church. And you built a church building. You saw the invisible and God honored your vision. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about today. God wants the church again to see the invisible. Concerning its ministry to this community, I became excited when I did not hear that some women in your group are trying to have been doing apartment ministry or a multi-housing ministry. I'm excited about that. That's a great opportunity to share for Christ, to see. These men and women in Hebrews saw the invisible. Now, God wants men and women in this church to see the invisible. Don't you think so? I think so. Abraham heard the promise of God over the voice of the skeptical in his day. They heard the inaudible. They heard what nobody else was hearing. And men of faith, women of faith still do that. They hear what nobody else is hearing because God still speaks to people. He still speaks to this church. Abraham heard that promise of God over all the noise of the skeptical of his day. Noah heard the warning of God over all the mocking concerning building that boat out there on dry land. Whoever heard of such foolishness? But Noah heard the voice of God, and he obeyed God. The New Testament saints, like Peter and James and John, in their fishing boats, like Matthew at Custom Seat. These are great prospects, weren't they, for the church? These guys were ornery. These guys were tempestuous. These guys would get angry and blow up at you in a minute. But they heard the inaudible. They heard the call of God on their lives, and they left their fishing boats, and they left the tax collector's seat, and they left all those things that their life had become built around, and they heard that voice, and they followed that voice, and God blessed them. They heard the voice of God, the inaudible calling for them to move out into their world and to change their world. They heard in the quiet recesses of their minds, their souls. They heard in the temple when everybody else was not hearing that. That moss-covered tradition. Good thing we don't have tradition, didn't it? Yeah. They heard even among the tradition. They heard in the boats. Who ever heard of hearing God in the boats? And at the mills. And with the sheep. They heard God. They heard the inaudible. They heard God as the rocks pounded into their heads and into their bodies, and they died hearing the voice of one who had a work for them and who called them to something better than what they were leaving. Does God speak that way today? Does he still speak that way today? Can men hear the inaudible? Can we truly see the invisible? I would venture something. Not many things worthwhile in this world have come to pass except somebody saw a vision of it before it happened when nobody else agreed with them. Yes, God still speaks today. Men and women still hear the voice of God. Well, then those men did something that we ought to do. They tried the impossible. Now, let's go back to this thing with you guys. Who would have thought that your church could have been able to send a group to the Ukraine, to the former Soviet Union, and build a building and encourage and come along as a sister church to somebody halfway around the world? Until somebody saw that vision, none of you even thought about that. Somebody saw that vision. They saw the invisible, and they heard the voice of God saying, that's what you want to do. And so you attempted it, and you accomplished it. God still does the same thing. Moses tackled the hordes of Pharaoh single-handedly and won. He won. God won. Let's put it that way. Those faithful New Testament disciples who were overwhelmed with the wickedness of their day. That reminds me of today, doesn't you? Things are pretty tough nowadays publicly. All the blessings of the internet and everything else bring a great deal of wickedness also. God wants his children in this church to attempt the impossible for Jesus' sake. I don't know what, does Gary ever let anybody say amen? I'm going to talk to him about that. He ought to, he ought to let you say that more often. I want to challenge you today to seek God's vision of things unseen for your life and the life of this church. I'm going to challenge you today to hear things that nobody else is hearing but God has to say to us, and to hear the great things God has planned for us and to be a part of that plan. I challenge you to do that, to make a commitment to do the impossible in the name of God. I'm prone to say, well, I can't do that. You know, I got irritated about this message yesterday, and I said, man, I don't know what. Well, and you know, after I had went through all that stuff with the car and the keys, I decided it wasn't the Lord's fault, it was mine anyway. I was all messed up, and I saw that God used what happened to bless somebody's life. Isn't that always the truth? Can be. It can be. So I want to challenge you today to make a commitment to do the impossible in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to make that one decision that God can do that in your life. He can lead you to see the invisible. You can hear his voice, hear the inaudible, and you can do the impossible when you yield to him. Isn't that a great passage of Scripture? Yes. That's a wonderful passage of Scripture. God may be working in your life this morning. I think he worked in all our lives, but he may be specifically working in your life this morning. I remember one day when almost 100 years, well, it wasn't quite that long ago, a long time ago, I sat in a church and a guy talked about the call of God on lives. And you know, I think I was the only person that day, that night, who made a decision. I said, I think I hear the voice of God. I think God may be calling me to preach. My wife wasn't too swift about that. In fact, when I told her I was going to be a preacher, she sat down in the middle of the living room floor and cried. And she said, I don't think I can be a preacher's wife. Now, she made a wonderful preacher's wife, and 59 years after that date, she went to be with the Lord. We had a great time together. I've been principal of a school, high school, at 21. Chemist in several different locations. I've been trustee at two different seminaries, 20 years. A lot of other things, but none of them compare to the day I stood in that little church, Baptist church, in a place in Arkansas. And a guy named Jess Kitt said, some of you need to make a decision for Jesus today. And I visited there the other day, and I remember this seat I sat on, the third row from the back on the aisle. And when he gave that invitation, all of a sudden, I heard a voice nobody else was hearing. I saw a vision of God that nobody else was seeing that night. And I gave my life to him. And it's revolutionized my life. I've never done anything in my life that is as satisfying as serving Jesus Christ. Let me challenge you. God will bless your socks off when you follow Jesus. That's not to say you won't have troubles, but you'll have help and troubles that you never could get anywhere else. You'll have help from Him. So I invite you this morning to make that initial decision to come. I'm going to be standing down here in a minute. To make that initial decision to come to Christ. If you've never done so, it will overshadow everything you've ever done or everything you may do in the future. It'll change your life. Maybe God's talking to you and convincing you of something that needs to be done and nobody else is seeing or hearing. I challenge you this morning to come and place your life in God's hands and let Him use you for whatever He wants to use you for. He doesn't give a schedule for the rest of your life. He just knows you're in good hands. Let's pray for a moment, and then we're going to have an invitation. I invite you to come if God speaks to your heart. Lord, this has been a good day. The music of the Lord has been edifying and encouraging and joyful. The sharing and the seeing the people, your people here, has been encouraging and has been wonderful. And the fellowship of saints is great to be a part of. Now I pray that as we come to this portion of the service where people make decisions publicly, I ask you to have your will in their life. Help me to know, Lord, that this is your job, not mine. My job is simply to talk, Lord, and about you, and your job is to convince. So I pray that you would have done that in the hearts of these men and women, and somebody this morning would come to know Christ, or someone would make that commitment in their lives to follow you, no matter where you lead, and to hear and see and be convinced that they can do the impossible. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.